John 14. We can read verse number 1 today. Again, this is a review of what we have been studying last January. And this verse is the verse we started out with. We will read it again today, beginning with verse number 1. John 14 and verse number 1. Jesus is speaking and says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." The word there, when Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father." This is what we're trying to talk about these next few weeks, is show us the Father. God the Father is who we're trying to look at this week. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for being our Father. We thank you for the Word of God that reveals you to us. And Lord, we're grateful now for the opportunity we have to be together today. And I pray, God, you will just bless our time together. Lord, may the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher. May he lead us and guide us today as what we say and how we say it. Lord, I pray, God, that you might encourage us, Lord, in your work today. Lord, we know, Lord, that you're on the throne, you're in control. And God, things are going according to your plan. And God, help us to have faith, to trust you, and Lord, to live for you, and to occupy, Lord, until you come. Lord, bless your word now as it goes forth. Lord, speak to each of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I said Brother Long called this morning. His wife had a little accident at the house, and he had to take her to the emergency room. Hopefully everything will be okay. She may just hurt her arm, I think, but pray for them today as they're in the emergency room this morning. That's Brother Long, Lewis Long and Kathy, that sits back here. Okay, in this verse, in this chapter here, verse number 8, Philip said unto him, that is Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father." In January, we started this study about the Father, God the Father. We talked about God the Father. We talked about his nature. We also talked about his character, who he is. And today we want to continue with that as we look in the many ways that God is Father. Many ways God is Father. Father, found in the Old Testament and the New Testament, describes God to us. Describes God to us as who he is. But today we're going to look and just a few ways that God is Father mentioned in the Bible. And remember last month we talked about, as we started, that God by nature is a Trinity. He is a Trinity. He consists of three different distinct personalities, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are equal. They're co-equal. And we talked about that. We see that God the Father is the one who sent Jesus Christ and commissioned him, the Son, to this earth to die for you and I. We find that God finds in the Son the perfect and the infinite love, object of his love. In other words, God loves his Son more than he loves anything else. He loves Jesus Christ, the one who come and died for you and I. Now, we know that our Christianity, our faith, is based upon the Scriptures, which teach there is but one God. There's only one true and holy God. That is God the Father. That is God the Father. Now, we may not understand the Trinity, but we can believe it, can't we? We can believe it. And I'm thankful for that. There's many things in life that I don't understand, but I have to believe. You know? I don't see how electricity can cause that light to burn, but it does, and I'm not going to test it to see, okay? But I still believe it. And this is the things in the Bible are that way also sometimes. But we'll see today as we look at the ways that God is Father. Number one, the one way we're going to look at is God is Father as creator. As creator. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Again, another very familiar verse. But God is Father as creator. I don't understand why in the world it's so hard for society today to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I don't understand that. But the Bible teaches that, and I believe that. It's a fact. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27, we see here God as the Father, as a Father. Verse 27, so God, as a creator. So God created a man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, what is so hard about that to understand? It's plain and simple, is it not? It is simple. So we see, first of all, the way that God is Father. He is Father as a creator, as the creator. He created you. He created me. Male and female, he created man and woman. Not only that, he created the whole world. We know that. But God is Father of mankind by creation. By creation, first of all. He created the world. Everything that's in it that we enjoy, he created it all. He's Father by creator. By creator. Even the major religions today teach that there is some superior being somewhere. Some superior being somewhere that rules the universe. And the nature we have demonstrates his power and his being at work that God's here. Right now, you notice, and I notice too, when the weather begins to change, it gets warm. What's happening to the trees? They begin to bud out, aren't they? We can already see that. That's a change, you see. And so God's in control of all that. He knows what he's doing. He's in control. We find here creation itself describes and presents to us the fact that God himself is alive and well. Well, God is the creator of everything in the world. We find here the terms that we use sometimes as being powerful works and how God demonstrates that it is through the wind. It's through rain. He demonstrates his power in many different ways to us. Sometimes it's even through fire. He does use that. You see, we see here the early Christians, like we are, hopefully, did not look to nature for the truth about God, but they looked to Jesus Christ and they looked to his word, and that's who we look to for the fact of the nature of Christ as a creator. So we see, first of all, in the way that God is Father, he's the Father as a creator. He's the creator. He created you. He created me. Secondly, we see that God is creator. He is Father of he's Father of Israel, the nation of Israel. If you will turn with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah and chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. Look down about verse number 8, I believe it is. Verse number 8. Isaiah 64:8. God as Father of Israel, a nation. Isaiah 64, verse 8. The Bible says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. You find here, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. God's the Father with the clay. Amen? With the clay. God wants to mold us, and God is molding us. In the Old Testament, God is especially Father of the nation of Israel. We also see that he sustains this relationship with Israel, the nation, because it was created by him. The nation of Israel was created by him. Israel as a nation possesses a privileged position. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, over a few pages from Isaiah. The nation of Israel possess a privileged position because of their possession. Isaiah and verse number 31. Jeremiah 31. Look at verse number 9. Jeremiah 31 and verse number 9. We see Israel's possession as a privileged position they have. Verse number 9 says, they shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. We see here God is Father as a nation of Israel, to the nation of Israel. He's Father also as a creator. Israel was a special son to God. In the sense, they were supernaturally begin with the race of Abraham and Sarah. You know, when Abraham and Sarah was up in age, they were out of childbearing age, but God gave them a son, didn't he? He gave them a son. And we see their child, Isaac, was born after that time. And so we see here that a father of Israel, God is a father of Israel also. Also, we look next at the father, God, the way father is the father, he's the father of Christ. The father of Christ. God is a father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that today. So, we'll look at this today. We'll look just a minute here. A father of Christ, that is God, the father of Jesus Christ. He is a unique father of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ speaks a lot about his father. And we're going to look at some of that today. First of all, if you will turn to Matthew chapter 3, and verse 17. There is a unique relationship between God the Father and God the Son. A very unique relationship. In Matthew chapter 3, and verse 17, we see here, he is referred to as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospels, we find the Father acknowledging Jesus as his Son. Now look at this in verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Father is identifying Jesus Christ as his Son. He recognizes him doing that. We also see over in chapter 11 of Matthew, turn over there, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, we see the Son acknowledges the Father. The Son acknowledges the Father. Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus reveals the Father to us. Verse, all things are delivered unto me, Jesus says, of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We see here the relationship here between the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. They are related here very much. They are the Father. The Son acknowledges the Father, you see. And see, the Father, also the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they are connected here. We see also that Christ told his disciples to address God as who? In Matthew chapter 6, our Father. Read Matthew chapter 6. You find Jesus instructed the disciples to refer to God as our Father, the title given to him by Jesus Christ, our Father. I'm glad we have a Father, aren't you? A Father in heaven, a Heavenly Father that we can go to and talk to. The terms here, Father and Son, are used to describe, again, this relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. Both the Father and the Son have existed together how long? Somebody tell me. Forever. Eternally. They were in the beginning, they're in the end. They'll be in the end. They've always been together. So they have this relationship that only they can know, see. So there is no point in time when the Son became into being. He became a man, yes. But into being, he's always been, just like God has always been. The terms are given again to describe this oneness or this unity there is between the Father and the Son, and also the Holy Spirit, which you mentioned last Wednesday night about Genesis chapter 1, how he refers to as us, not just one, but us. So we see here that Christ spoke of God as also my Father and your Father. My Father and your Father. He reveals the Heavenly Father to us. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're talking about God as Father of Christ. God as Father of Christ. Colossians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 9. For in him, that is Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we see here, Christ spoke of God as my Father and your Father. He referred also him as the Heavenly Father. He's a heavenly Father for you and I. God as a personal Father, a personal Father. You know, if you had an earthly father that was a Christian, you were a blessed person. You know that? You're a blessed person. A lot of people in this world don't have earthly fathers that are Christians. But you know, I'm so glad to know that we all can have an earthly father that loves us and cares about us. And we can go to any time we want to in prayer and know he's there to hear us and to meet every need we have in our life. My father, I thank God for my earthly father. I really do. My father died young. He was 61. But nevertheless, I thank God for him. But I still have a father. Now, as a Christian, I have a father. That's God the Father, and I'm grateful for that. He's a personal father. Jesus taught this. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. How personal God is, Jesus, how God is to us. In John chapter 20, look at verse number 17. Jesus taught the disciples. Notice what it says here. In John chapter 20, in verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father, and who? Your Father. And to my God, and to who? Your God." My Father and your God. My Father and your God. See, Jesus is relating to, he's not only mine, he's yours. He's yours as a born-again child of God. He's your Father, he's your God. He's your God. I'm thankful today to know that we have a personal God. We have a personal Father that we can make get in contact with and pray and know he loves us. He shows all here them here that God cares for them personally. Just as a human father would care for his children, God cares for you as his child. He cares about every problem you have, every heartache you have, every concern you have. He cares about you. He cares about everything about you. He also spoke to God, the Creator, as a child speaks to his parents. Jesus spoke to God as you would speak to your parents when you were coming up. He spoke to him that way. We see that he emphasized that God loves people who accept him, that is Jesus. God loves people that accept Jesus Christ as their Savior into their lives. Turn back to John 17, look at verse 23. John 17, verse 23. Jesus says, "I in them and thou in me, that they be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Jesus loves you like he loves, God loves you like he loves Jesus Christ. We see here. Jesus here explains that this about the people here he has here. He also reminds his followers, Jesus, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Back to Matthew chapter 6. He reminds the followers that their Father, God, cared for the smallest details of their life. In Matthew chapter 6, look here, verse number 28. You know, sometimes we think we only go to our Father for something big, right? Well, little things are important to him too. Little things. It really is. You know, it might be an ingrown toenail. You know, it might be something small, you know, as far as we're concerned and people are concerned, but God cares about that. He cares about every detail of our life. Matthew 6, look at verse 28. Verse 28. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherein, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know, that's amazing scriptures to me. There's not one thing that I need in my life that my Father don't know about. He knows about it. Not only does he know about it, but he cares about it. He cares about every detail in our life, no matter how little it may seem. Jesus also taught that the Father is holy and that he is holy also. Turn to John chapter 15. Over to John chapter 15. They're both holy. John 15, verse number 23. He teaches here, the Holy Spirit shares the same divine holiness also accordingly. The true God is just and righteous. Okay? John 15, verse 23. Here we are. John 15, verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sinned. But now have they both seen and hath both me and my Father. Verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The believer and the Spirit, the believer and the Father, we see here today as we look at this together. We see how also he intervenes to save his people from sin, the Father does. He intervenes to save his people from sin. This is why God sent his Son into the world, that you and I could be saved. The Father and the Son relationship is a unique relationship that we can't explain it. We can't explain it. We can read about it in the Bible, but it's really hard to explain. He brought mercy to a sinful and a dying people like you and I. And in him, we see God's holy purpose fulfilled. In John chapter 6, go back a few pages. In John chapter number 6, look at verse 38. We're talking about God as the Father of Christ. God as the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 38. John 6, verse 38. Jesus says, "Well, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Raise him up at the last day. You know, my wife and I were out just the other day, and we're looking at trees, and she spoke about the trees being so barren, you know, at this time of year, in the wintertime and all. And it literally looked like they're dead, you know. I said, "Yeah, but you notice also some of the trees are already right now, you see a little green coming on them. That's the budding." You know, it's a reminder of us that Jesus Christ died for me. But not only did he die for me, but he arose the third day. You know, it didn't stop there. He arose the third day, and he ever lives now for you and I. He ever lives to intercede for you and I. So we see this as a wonderful thing to know. We see Jesus also emphasizing his personal love that God has for every human being. We know that in John 3:16 tells us that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." There is not one person today that God does not love. Not one person today living or has lived or will live that God doesn't love. God as Father of Jesus Christ. Jesus proved that God is the great rescuer. in the Old Testament prophets of Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus proved that about God, about God. We see many times the word Father is applied to God in the Gospels. But more than double is it found in the remaining of the books of the New Testament. The Father, the word Father is mentioned more in the remaining of the New Testament than it is the Gospels. So we see the Father, God the Father, as the Father of Jesus Christ. As the Father of Jesus Christ. Now, last but not least, we want to look at also today, God the Father as Father of born-again believers. I'm glad today to know that He's my Father. He is the Father of all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we will by faith trust His Son as the one who died for us, He will become our Father. He will become our Father, you see. The Christian close relationship with God is seen in the word Abba, Father. It's meaning Father, Father. Father, Father. Abba, Father. We have a close relationship. He is the Father of He is the Father as a creator. Yes, He is. But none, the source and also the sustainer of creation. But also this includes His role as the creator of you and I, humanity. He's not, we don't believe the fatherhood of God. We don't teach that. He's the Father of all believers. We believe that, as the Bible teaches that. He provides benefits for believers. All things are given to those who trust Him. He shows this to us by the not sparing of His Son. He gave Jesus to die for you and I. Therefore, all things are for us. Now, what are some of these all things that he includes for you and I? First of all, we see in Matthew 23, turn there if you will, in verse number 9. Matthew 23 and verse number 9, some things that he shows for us, the benefits of the believers. Matthew 23 and verse number 9. You know, not only do we have, as a believer, a home in heaven, okay? But there are many benefits along the way that you and I enjoy as a child of God. And let's don't take these for granted. Let's don't take these for granted as we look at this. There's a special, first of all, relationship between God and His children. Matthew 23, look at verse number 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in where? Heaven. Our Father is where? In heaven. In heaven. Our godly Father, our Godfather is in heaven, you see. This is a special relationship between God and His children. We also see back in John chapter, over to John chapter 10. Turn over to John chapter 10. Another relationship we have, another benefit we have, maybe I should say, as a Christian, as a believer. God, as Father of believers, He is the Father of all who believe. In John chapter 10, look at verse number 29. I love this verse. We see here the security for the believer. The security. John 10, 29, my Father, Jesus says, which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father's hand. Thank God for that today, that we're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus is in the Father's hand and we're in Jesus' hand, how much secure can you be? I mean, that settles it. Amen? Jesus in God's hand and we're in God's, in Father's hand and we're in Jesus' hand. There's no way we can get out. There's no way. No man can pluck us out. We're safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we also can have fellowship with the Father and the Son. Over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Fellowship with the Father and the Son. We have that relationship. We have that fellowship, that time to have fellowship with Him. 1 John 1, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have what? Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. As a believer, we had fellowship with Him. We can talk to Him. We can pray to Him. We can sing to Him. You know, we can have a close relationship with God the Father because of His Son. A believer can have fellowship with the Father and the Son. One more, the believer has an eternal inheritance. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. We have an eternal inheritance. Last week we talked about laying up treasures in heaven and not on earth. Moth and rust does corrupt and destroy. We can lay up treasures in heaven. But we have an inheritance in heaven as a believer today. Romans 8, verse number 17. The Bible teaches us this. Paul is writing here. Verse 17, he says, and if children then heirs of who? Of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We see here as believers, we have an eternal inheritance in heaven with God the Father. God the Father loves you. He loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. I'm so glad today for this relationship between God the Father and God the Son that you and I can have the opportunity to become children of God and live for Him and serve Him. We also could talk about God the Father also has made many provisions for the believers. There's many provisions that He's made for you and I. He is our spiritual Father. He's the one that we can look up to. He's the one that we can go to when we need spiritual advice. Go to God our Father and pray to Him for things that we need. He also allows us direct access to Him through Jesus Christ. We can go to God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, and pray at any time. The line is never busy, folks. It's always available for you and I when we want to go to Him. The Father has provided eternal inheritance for us, and we will be heirs together one day with Him in heaven. What a privilege we have. God is called the Father as the first person in the Trinity, first of all. We also see He also is the eternal Father of Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. In the Old Testament, God is called the Father of the nation of Israel. We also see that God is the Father in an intimate relationship to those of us that put our faith in Him, God the Father. And then last, God is the Father as a creator and a sustainer of all creation. He's the Father. God the Father, today, as creator, as Father of Israel, as Father of Christ, and also as Father of believers. In closing, one verse, Hebrews 7:25, the believer can confidently offer God to him in Jesus' name. I want to read that verse and we'll close. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. I like this verse. Hebrews 7, verse 25. The Bible says this, wherefore he that is God is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, that is by Jesus, seeing he that is Jesus ever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ is alive today. Therefore, He makes intercessions for us when we come to the Father. My, what a relationship we see here between God the Father and God the Son. A wonderful, wonderful relationship we have. Father, we thank You today for the Word. We thank You for the opportunity once again to open Your Word and to share again today the relationship between You and Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, may we better understand You as a Father. Lord, that You might become more precious to us, Lord, as Your children, if we allow You to. Father, have Your will and way now in the service we're about to go into. I pray, God, for the singing. I pray for this our pastor as he speaks. I pray, God, every word that's said today will bring honor and glory to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.